Linda, you're involved in developing some new technology that will help out in the rapid testing of whether or not there's E. coli in meat. Could you tell me a little bit about how this came? What are some of the areas that you've experimented with?
Well, yeah, as you say, we started with beef and beef trim, and of course, beef comes in many varieties, and so we did ground beef, which is a little tougher, and we've done chicken, we've done lunch meat, we've done hot dogs, we've done yogurt, we've done bean sprouts, we've done flour, we've done peanut butter, and we're working on more. Really, we feel that our technology is suitable for testing for pathogens in just about any food type.
Now, it's being called a rapid detection for food safety purposes. How rapid is rapid?
Well, rapid depends on the number of pathogens that are there, of course. If there were large numbers of pathogens, we could detect them in an hour, in just 60 minutes. But for the most part, these pathogen levels are often quite low, which means the bugs have to be grown for a while before you can actually properly detect them. And that adds a time constraint to almost all the commercial tests that are currently available, so it takes at least overnight, and in some cases longer, whereas we can actually begin to detect just one E. coli in almost a pound of meat within 4 to 5 hours.
And what would be some of the benefits or advantages of your technology?
Well, at the moment, for example, in the case of beef, there are bins of beef trim that have to be tested, and it takes anywhere from 2 to 3 days for the company to get a result. In our case, we'd be able to get the result for them within one work shift, which is, I think, important to the companies because it means that within that work shift, they can actually deal with a contaminated bin.
And what might be some other benefits?
Well, one of the major ones, of course, is speed, as I just mentioned. And the speed is, it's not just things like beef. I had a gentleman call me from Peru, and he wanted to know, could he buy our technology? Because he really desperately wanted to be able to test his mangoes. And at the moment, he said he had to wait 2 weeks. So the speed really does make a difference. But the other big advantage is that our technology is quite low cost. It's not complicated technology. It's fast, and it's low cost, which means that even in small local processing plants, for example, it would be feasible to implement our technology.
So is yours done on site? Is that a difference as well with the way that the current testing is done?
It could be done on site, but overall, at least for the meat processing plants, they don't want pathogens being tested on site because you do have to grow them to detect them, and they don't want to grow pathogens around their meat, which makes sense. So it could be done in a very closely associated lab that was simply sequestered from the main meat processing, which would mean you could do it quickly in fairly close proximity and thereby, again, get your result much more quickly because you're not shipping the sample long distances for a test.
What do they do with the meat in the meantime?
Yes, well, that's a big problem because it has to be stored, and it has to be stored in the cold. So I think it's a big expense for meat processors, and that's why there's such an advantage to being able to detect whether or not a bin of meat has a problem as quickly as possible.
What did your technology look like?
It's actually really small. The business end of it all is the size of maybe a couple of postage stamps, and the instrument is the size of a shoebox, essentially, maybe a little bigger, so that it doesn't take much bench space. It doesn't have a big footprint. And yet, the other advantage, in addition to speed, is that we can do multiple samples on one run. So that means you could have, for example, 7 to 10 of your meat samples being tested for multiple targets to make sure if and what kind of pathogen might be present in the meat or other food process, and get that very quickly, which I think no other technology can do with quite that degree of multitasking.
How does it actually work?
How does it work? Well, it's basically a molecular copying machine. So the parts of the bacterium that we want to detect, that tell us whether or not it's a pathogen, are actually located on the DNA. And the DNA needs to be amplified to make multiple copies because it's hard to detect one copy, but it's pretty easy to detect millions of copies. So the technology basically is a pretty common technology that copies that DNA to make millions of copies, which you can detect. But the advantage is that we can do it in a very small volume and we can do it very quickly.
Now, you were showing me how it works on the computer, and there were different sort of channels of things that you were looking for, and one of them you called an adhesion molecule. What's that?
Well, in order for an E. coli, for example, to cause disease in a human gut, in your intestines, it has to be able to stick there so that when it produces its toxin, the toxin is localized. If it can't stick to your intestinal wall, it will float right through and you won't get sick. So the definition of a pathogenic E. coli is that it not only produces toxin, but that also it has a way to stick to the intestinal wall. So the tests we're doing test for both of those properties.
So what all would be in that test that gives you either a positive or negative result?
There's a whole series of chemicals that are put into a gel-like matrix, and then an enzyme that's basically the copying machine. And they're little priming molecules that say, okay, I want you to copy the adhesion molecule gene, or I want you to copy the toxin gene. And so each one of those is a separate test on any given sample, and yet they're all done at the same time, which means that you get all your results very quickly, and you get a comprehensive picture of what the pathogen, if there is a pathogen present, what it is. And for example, you could test not just for E. coli, you can also test for salmonella, which is very pathogenic and a big problem in food contamination, listeria, which causes disease, and campylobacter, which is another much less well-known bug which causes a lot of gastrointestinal disorders. So we can test for just about any pathogen that might be present in food. At the moment, we're just doing those four.
When you look at the commercialization of this, what's involved for you?
Oh, we're very excited that all the technology has been licensed by a new Alberta company located in Edmonton that's called Amplicet. And Amplicet wants to commercialize both our procedure for rapidly processing a food sample, but also the technology for testing it. So I think this could be a real win for Alberta, and it's certainly a win, I think, for the granting agencies that funded this, especially Alberta Innovates Biosolutions, who was really responsible for allowing us to develop everything as comprehensively and in such a sophisticated way as we have.
When you look at food safety, certainly we've had over the last few years a number of big outbreaks. I think of the Maple Leaf and then also the XL Foods. Could you give me an idea of globally what the real problem is for us in the food safety area, what the concerns are?
Well, I think the biggest concern is that you can't know whether or not you've introduced something either in the original food substance to be processed, for example, the cow. I mean, most cows will have some degree of pathogenic E. coli, and the idea is you want to wash it off before you ever process, but that doesn't always work. And you can't actually know that unless you check at the end of the process and make sure there's nothing there. The other source is coming from the processing equipment. So, for example, the fluids that are used, if they got contaminated in one run and transferred it into the equipment, and then the equipment transferred it onto a fresh run, that's why constant testing is really important. And in fruit and things like flour, the grain products, in almost all of these things, you can't eliminate the pathogens. And I think the companies do their best. But clearly, because we have all these outbreaks and they keep happening, things keep getting contaminated. So you need a reliable and really low-cost testing system that's fast and reliable, because if it takes a long time, there's going to be less motivation to use it unless it's regulated. And if it's regulated, then it becomes even more complicated for the processors. So it's better if they do it voluntarily. And I think with our technology, they could readily do that. And so I'm hoping that Amplicet will help address that need. I'm sure Amplicet will be helping to address that need.
Do you see other applications beyond food safety for your technology?
Oh, there's an enormous number of applications, certainly a huge number of medical applications, agricultural applications, testing animals, testing water. For example, pipelines are really interesting. Pipelines get badly contaminated, and because they want to save water, they continually recycle the water and build up bacterial populations, not at all like the kind that are pathogens in food, different kinds of bacterial populations that corrode the pipelines. And so, for example, you might want to test pipeline water. You certainly will need to test environmental waters, cyanobacteria, pathogenic E. coli in water. Hassie Lake, out where we used to live, is not useful for swimming anymore because there is pathogenic E. coli that's floating in from nearby farms, I believe. So it becomes very important to really be able to check for these things. And in just about all aspects of daily life, airport security, testing for people who've got communicable diseases as they get on or off an airplane, for example. I mean, that, there's a lot of complexity and privacy issues with that, but it certainly is something that at some point might become necessary.
How did you get interested in all this miniaturization?
Well, it was a long time ago, and an engineering colleague had invited me to have some tea and talk about it, and we spent, well, I don't know, 6 or 7 years drinking tea and talking and wishing we had money to do it, and then eventually we got some funding and started working on these things, and gradually it morphed into the technology we're using now. And that was thanks to funding mainly by provincial agencies. So really the province deserves a lot of credit for this because almost all of the funding came from the province, particularly, as I say, Alberta Innovates Biosolutions. But before that, Alberta Innovates Health Solutions funded us for the medical applications. So a lot of people had faith in us and funded a lot of money to allow this to come to fruition, to have something, a huge amount of money to produce something that doesn't cost very much once you're done with it.
Thank you very much, Linda.
Okay, it's been a pleasure, Cheryl.